to make sure of that. All right? Let's open the Bible to 2 Chronicles, chapter number 30. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 30. Tonight, I want to give you just a word here this evening. Just a little word here tonight from the Scripture. And give it to you to take home with you. We'll go ahead and go. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. I noticed in the Old Testament, they were always having big meetings. They had them feasts. The Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of the Passover. And the Feast of all kind of stuff. And they had Moses and Aaron and them guys leading them. They had feasts for this and feasts for that and pastor appreciation day, whatever, camp meeting. They had all kind of days, big days that they set aside for that feast. And then they had big meetings. Here's one I want to read you about that sort of reminds me of a camp meeting. Everybody follow me now. I'm going to read this slow and then preach short, I promise. So you look at verse 16. And they stood in their place. That's what we all need to do. In this camp meeting, everybody needs to be in your place. Ushers, be in your place. Musicians, be in your place. Preacher, deacon, Sunday school teacher, everybody, church member, be in your place. Every single servant. According to the law of Moses, the man of God, that this priest sprinkled the blood which they received at the hand of the Levites. Verse 17. Now when I stop, hold your finger on the verse. For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Hold your finger there. There were people in that congregation that had been watching stuff on TV they shouldn't have been watching. I'm translating that to our day. There were people in that congregation that had been messing with their cell phone, what they shouldn't have been messing with. It was dark in here this morning, and I saw lights flashing over back in over yonder where cell phones coming on and all. Right in the house of God. You don't need that thing on or even messing with while we're in here having church. Amen? You're not that important, and the people are calling you ain't that important. You're not. Listen, you say, well, I might get a text. I'm giving you a text right now. Here's the text you need. And boy, you don't get one more important than this. Let's look at it. Many were not sanctified. Some of them were doing things it wasn't supposed to be doing. Some of them was slipping around drinking alcohol. Some of them was slipping around stealing money from work. Some of them were stealing their tithes and spending it on their self and then griping about the church wasn't what it's supposed to be. Some of them were just backslid. You know what the first thing a person does when they're backslid? Point fingers at the church. They, well, our church has changed. No, it ain't. You have. I mean, the same God's here, same Bible's here, same preacher's here, same Spirit's here. You're the one that's changed. That's what I told somebody the other day. That's right, bro. I've heard people say, well, our church ain't the same. Well, nothing stays exactly the same, but God does, and His Spirit does, and the Holy Ghost does, and the Word of God does, and the songs do, and the worship does stay the same. Get with it. Get with it. Get lined up with the book. They were not sanctified. Therefore, verse 17, the Levites had the charge of killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean to sanctify them unto the Lord. Verse 18, hold on just a second. Listen, you know what ought to be our desire this week? To get our life and heart clean. Ought to be clean before God. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I'm just matured and I understand that we're saved by grace and so I can sin. Listen, the term saved by grace never meant it was all right for you to sin a little bit just because you're saved by grace. It is not right for a person to sin a little bit. And if you get your heart right with God, you ain't going to want to fool around with sin. I ain't going to want to fool around with sin when my heart is right with God. Say amen right there. All right, look at verse 18. For a multitude of the people, even of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Have you cleansed yourself? Have you put away your dirty habits? Have you got some filth out of your life? Yet they did eat the Passover otherwise than it is written. But Hezekiah prayed for them. That's me praying for you, us praying, and saying, the good Lord pardon everyone. You see, them old mountain people was scriptural when they said the good Lord. That's where it come from. Up in the mountains, the people say, well, I'm going to church, something. Good Lord's being awful merciful to me. Good. You know where they got that? Right out of the Bible. You don't hear that phrase up north. You know why? Because Northerners have been discouraged from reading the Bible by the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church said, don't read it. It'll confuse you. And what they really mean is, don't read it. You'll find out what crooks we are. That's what that really means. Now tonight, I'm going to tell you, it said the good Lord pardon everyone. Verse 19. Here we go for the camp meeting, y'all. That prepareth his heart to seek the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. I'm not going to stand up here tonight and tell you our church is perfect. We're not. We got a long way from it. As a matter of fact, the devil's done everything in his power to try to tear us apart. I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe the Lord is able to heal the people. He's able to heal us, y'all. He's able to heal us. Lord, we've been shot and ripped apart. I mean, the devil's hit from every direction. I mean, our marriages, homes, personal lives, physically. People got sick, lost their job, lost their income. I'm telling you, it ain't just here. It's every church I go to. Every church. I got a preacher from a text from a preacher this morning. He said, all you know what broke loose this morning at their church. And we need to pray for that church tonight that God would help them. I'm going to tell you this evening, the devil would do everything. The devil hates this. If the devil had his way, he'd have the lights off up here tonight and have us all out in the world somewhere. The devil hates a camp meeting. He hates it. He hates it. You know what? God put that in my heart years ago to have a camp meeting, and the devil hates it. You hear me? I said the devil hates it. And the Bible said these people prepared their heart to seek the Lord. And that's what I want us to do tonight. Everybody, young people, teenagers, mamas and daddies, prepare your heart to seek the Lord. Prepare your heart to seek the Lord. I mean, go home tonight and sit and think about it and say, am I where God wants me to be? Am I where with God where I need to be? Do I need to go to that altar? Is there something sinful in my heart? Is there some sin that I'm petting and leaving in my life? Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, too cold in here. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm burning up, but I can see everybody wrapping up in blankets. But I'm going to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to understand, we have to prepare our heart to seek the Lord. I want every man in here, every woman in here, every teenager in here say, I'm going to prepare my heart to seek God. You say, how do you do that? Well, take tomorrow, take Tuesday, take Wednesday, and say, Lord, whatever you want to speak to me about in the camp meeting, God, speak to my heart about it. Whatever I need to know, help me. Some of y'all need help. Some of us, give me down just higher, brother. Some of us need help in the Carolina camp meeting. Let's ask God to heal our hearts. And the children of Israel, verse 21, that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. I mean, that choir got loud. They sang. I was talking about Joey over shouting a while ago. I've known Brother Joey since he's just probably teenage, 11, 12 years old. I don't know how old he was when I first met him. And Brother Joey is not a Yankee, in case y'all couldn't figure that out. You say, where in the world's he from? Marin. Anybody from Marin, North Carolina? I know how Brother Joey talks. Amen. Actually, he's up above Marin. In Woodlawn. That's worse. Further you go up in the mountains, the worse hick it gets. But I will tell you tonight, brother, you know what? It said they praised him on loud instruments. They didn't mealy mouth around. They didn't. I'm telling you, you don't go to a ball game and people sitting there saying, yay, go, wonderful team, great touchdown, that was really good. That was really good. Good pass. Lord, no, they're up there saying, yeah, score! Boy, I tell you, even people like wrestling, like old Brock this morning. Everybody got a kick out of old Brock this morning. Brother, I'm telling you, they made it loud. They made it noisy. They made a racket. I mean, brother, you could hear that thing. I'm not talking about a bunch of stuff in the flesh. They raised their hands. They said, Woo! Hallelujah! I mean, they praised God, brother. I mean, the Lord got in that camp meeting. Bible said in verse 22, Hezekiah spake comfortably unto the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. Amen. That's what we need, the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession and eating macaroni and cheese and drinking iced tea. And said they ate throughout the feast 7 days. We're coming together to eat this week. We're going to be eating Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Fast tomorrow. Fast Tuesday. Fast Wednesday. Come to eat Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Ladies, bring the kids. Bring everybody you can in them morning services. We're coming to eat. We're coming to fellowship. We're coming to worship God. If you miss work or get out of work, come on into them services and say, glory to God, I've come to prepare my heart to seek the Lord. And the Bible said there in verse 23, and the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days. They went on a second week. Amen. And they kept other 7 days with gladness. Hezekiah, in verse 22, said they made confession. 24 said, Hezekiah, the king of Judah, did give the congregation 1,000 bullocks. And 7,000 sheep. Buddy, I tell you what, the priests sanctified theirself. Verse 26 said there was great joy in Jerusalem, and there was not the like in Jerusalem. Verse 27 said, the priests, the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to His holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. You know what we could do this week? Listen, we ought to stand up. I'll stand up here and bless y'all and say, bless every one of y'all. I love everybody here. Let's get our hearts right with God and each other, and let's just see what God might do. I mean, the Holy Ghost from heaven come down and do a work so our boys and girls will grow up saying, I know there's a God in heaven. Thank God, that's what a camp meeting is. All right, I want to just say two or three things right quick. I'm going to say one, two, three, four things, and three things under the fourth thing. So, I'm just going to name them off. They'll be quick. Number one, you want God to bless you this week? Number one, be here. Get yourself here and your family here. Amen? I know people that their kids are in softball or in baseball. I know people that literally think their little brat is going to be a professional baseball player and grow up and make the whole family rich. And so they push that kid in baseball or football or soccer. I know I ain't against that. I'm not against them playing sports within reason. But the truth is, most of them are not going to be professional players. I know people that have their whole family got out of church because they went to every tournament, everything. All I know, guy right now, every time I'd invite him to church, he'd say, well, she's got a softball tournament this weekend. Little girl that high had a softball tournament this year, or this summer. And then next week. And then the week after that, we go to Charlotte. And then the week after that, we go to Raleigh. And the week after that, and I thought, you know what? That kid's going to grow up a heathen, because they'll be 12 and 13 and 14 before you know it. And then that world's done. Look, let me tell you something tonight. We ain't got nothing more important this coming weekend than the Carolina camp meeting. I want to get my kids in here. I want to get them grandkids in here. I want them to be in every service. You know why, brother? You ain't going to get nothing out of the best meeting in the world if you ain't there. If you're not here, you can't get a blessing. If you're not here, you can't. You say, well, Brother Danny, it's hard. I'm going to try to come one night. No. Act like your kid's playing in the tournament and they're going to be there for 4 days. Funny to me, they can be at ball games 4 nights in a row. Funny to me that the public schools can take them off to a ball game and get home at 10, 11 at night and they can all get up and go to school the next day. It's a funny thing to me that they can do everything out there in the world and somehow or another be it's all right. But when it comes to church, everybody's so concerned about their rest. Get them here. Be here. Be here. Be here. Number two, listen to the preacher. Listen to the preacher. Can I say this tonight? When a man gets up here and opens that book, put everything else out of your mind. Don't sit there and fellowship between you and somebody else. Don't go through your phone and say, all right, listen, If we believe that book and God's inspired that book, when a man stands up there and goes, I don't care who he is, you sit there and say, all right, I'm going to listen. These men have prayed. I don't doubt a bit. These men will be praying. They're praying. Maybe all John Mitchell's probably been praying for weeks. God, give me what shining light leads. God, give me what shining light needs. It ain't going to do you a bit of good for him to preach what you need if you ain't listening. If you ain't listening, if you ain't here and you ain't listening. I'll tell you what, brother, it ain't time to fellowship. It ain't time to write notes. It ain't time to send text to somebody. It's time to put everything down and let that man speak to you. I know, can I just say this? I've been doing camp meetings for 25 years. And I've been going to camp meetings for over 30 years. And you know what I found? I know people that go to camp meetings. I know people. I know preachers that go to camp meetings and stand out in the hall and talk the whole time the preaching's going on. That's the dumbest thing I've heard in my life. What are you doing in the hallway? I know people that come to church and stand out in the parking lot the whole blessed time the preaching's going on. Listen, tell you something, people. This is supernatural. What I'm doing is supernatural. I'm not, but the book is. And I'm telling you, you'll never get what God wants you if you ain't listening. Amen? I know a bunch of preachers go to camp meetings, and the whole time, they say, well, who's preaching first? Oh, so-and-so, I ain't crazy over him. Let's go out in the parking lot and brag. And they all stand out there and brag about how great they're doing at their church. Or gossip about the church members. We've been traveling a whole lot lately. And I've been telling Kelly, I said, now listen, if you'll notice, you'll notice that I don't go out and sit around and talk with preachers. And the reason I don't, because all they do is sit around and brag about how great they are and how sorry all the church members are. We preach that people ought not to gossip about the preacher. Preacher ought not to gossip about people. Say amen. It ain't right for a bunch of preachers to get around and gossip about their members. Say amen right there. Lord have mercy. I know churches have camp meetings, and all it is a bunch of preachers sitting around trying to figure out who can cut who and who's going where and who's doing this and who's preaching where and what they're doing and what that preacher's doing. Lord have mercy, brother. When a man gets up here and opens that book, you ain't got nothing more important to do than sit there and listen to it. It ain't time to play on your cell phone. It ain't time to talk to each other. It ain't time to fellowship. It ain't even time to flip through your Bible and look at Scripture. Open your ears and sit there and say, God, I'm listening to this man preach. If you want to get me in a bad mood, call me and ask me who's preaching what night. I understand. But the preacher... You know, we got some old preachers that preach in them morning services, and I've had people say, shoo, I don't like them. You better watch that attitude, because that might be the very sermon that God's got He wants you to listen to. It's like food. Kids don't like spinach. Kids don't like broccoli. But it's good for them, ain't it? You say, I don't like him. I like him. I don't like him. Okay, all you have is ice cream. You might ought to eat some green beans. Yeah, amen? Yeah. Some of them guys we'll have up here in the morning services might be green beans and, brother, some kind of salad and it might be just the medicine that your soul needs. I'm telling you, ask anybody that's here. And if y'all have to work, I feel sorry for you. If you can't get off, I feel sorry for you. I'd try to get off if I could. But listen, one of the best services we've ever had in our ever history of our camp meet is in them morning services. I'll never forget a few years ago before Brother Jerry Pilkington went to heaven. Lord, he got up here and he couldn't even preach. All he could do was cry. And the Holy Ghost fell on this place. It's so thick in here you had to get a C&I dog to get out of here. Really, it was like it was foggy in here. I mean, it was like you've been in a service where it just gets foggy and thick. And everybody just staggering around like a bunch of drunks. I'm telling you, I like it like that. I've seen it. And I mean, they wasn't just a handful of people here. Some 50, 75 people. Lord have mercy them. Listen to the preacher. Listen to the preacher. You say, well, I don't like that. And it might be the devil making you think that because he might have the word that God wants you to hear. I'm a firm believer in that. A man told me one time, I was trying to get him to listen to old Ruckman teach talking. He said, I can't stand listening to that man. I thought, you know what? That's what you need, boy. That's what you need. You don't listen to it because you like it. You listen to it because you need it. And it's the truth. Go to the doctor and say, I don't like that medicine. I don't like to get shots. I don't like it. It ain't going to help you a bit. You say, all right, doc. The doc said, now this is going to hurt a little bit. That's all right. If it'll help me, you go ahead, doctor. Numb it. Can you numb it? Listen, brother, that's the way we ought to do preaching. Some of y'all sit there. Listen, old Tug, old boy, he'd get up here. He done gone to heaven. He'd get up here and he'd operate on you with no anesthetic or whatever you call that stuff. What do you call that stuff? Whatever it is. Make you numb. I'm going to tell you something, brother. He'd just stab you and cut you up. Listen to the preacher. Listen to the preacher. Make up your mind. You're going to listen to the preacher. It'd be a good time for me to say this. Y'all, teach your kids listen how to preach it. Listen to preaching. Hey, if they're little bitty, put them in the nursery. And if they're big enough to sit in here and listen, after 4 years old, make them sit down. This ain't the place to bring food. They don't guys eat drinks and Cheerios and everything, laying down the pew. Lord have mercy, we didn't get to take food to church when I was a little kid. Lord, we went in there and Mom beat us to death if we didn't straighten up and sit there and listen to the man of God. Amen. So I've heard people say, well, we can't come to church. I got him in and he just won't behave. I can't come to church. He won't behave. You're pitiful, what you are. Listen to the preacher. Number three, listen for God. Listen to the preacher. Listen for God. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, when a man's up preaching this week, I'm listening to him. But I'm listening for God. Because I have needs in my life. And I have burdens in my life. And I have things in my life that I don't know what to do about, which way to turn, what decision to make. I'm listening for God to speak to me while that man's preaching. Did you know sometimes God will speak to you while somebody's preaching? And did you know sometimes it ain't even nothing that the preacher really says? I've had people come up to me and said, Brother Danny, while you was preaching, God spoke to me at a certain thing in my life. And people got called to preach and I wasn't even... One time I was up talking about the Lord's Supper and a man came down and got saved. And you know what? There's something about preaching. The Holy Ghost is talking to people all over the church. Listen for the Lord. Are you trying to make a decision? Do you need something in your life? Is your job bothering you? Your kids driving you crazy? You got marriage problems? Listen for the Lord. Listen for the Lord during the preaching. I'm telling you tonight, He can talk. God will talk through His Word. God will talk through His Word. It amazes me. Them nuts can get on TV and say, I have a word of prophecy for you. There's somebody out there tonight with back trouble. Of course there's somebody out there with back trouble. Millions of people out there. You know there's somebody with back trouble. And the people say, oh, I believe he's a prophet. I'm not a prophet, buddy. But I've got a book that the Bible says is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This thing will read your mind. Preaching supernatural. When a man gets plugged in just right and he's preaching, the Holy Ghost take the Word of God and He'll speak to your heart. He'll speak to your heart. He'll speak to their heart. He'll help your marriage. Amen. I mean, the Holy Ghost can do more than any antidepressant you will ever take. Are you listening to me tonight? Hey, the Holy Ghost can do more in a split second than all the marriage counseling that me or anybody else could do. The Holy Ghost, through that book, can do more on parent-children relationship than any counseling session, any rehab, any antidepressant. Thank God. Listen for God while that man's preaching. Listen for him. I've heard people get saved, or seen people get saved, and quit drinking, quit running around, straighten up their life immediately. And they went to every rehab in the country and couldn't quit. Listen for God. I said, number one, be here. Number two, listen to the preacher. Don't be back there in the restroom talking while somebody's up preaching. It's disrespectful and it's dumb. God's got a word for you in here. I said, number three, listen for God. I'm saying last, number four, give on your part. Give your part. My pastor said, what do you want Pastor Appreciation Day, Brother Danny? You know what I'd love for everybody in here to get me? Be here every night in a camp meeting and get in on it and get your life right so I don't have to worry about you so much. I mean, you don't know, every day of my life I go to bed and I pray for y'all and pray for y'all and I worry about you. You say, you ain't supposed to worry. Don't ever pastor a church. I know you ain't supposed to. It'll run you crazy. By the time you get one fixed, nothing fall out. And you get this and help, that and falls out. If you're a genius here tonight, you think you know how to do it, we'll give you a try at it sometime. Try it. Try to get your building and get people coming and keep them coming. Every time you turn around, somebody else is backslid. But I'm telling you tonight, get in your heart the Word and God's what will fix you. Give your part. Now, there's three things everybody here ought to give the camp meeting this week and God will bless you. Number one, give you money. Number two, give you time. Number three, give you prayers. Pray about it. Give you time. Be here. Get your kids here. And give you money. I believe in that. I don't mean to sound like a TV preacher, but I'm a firm believer. If you put money into something with a sincere heart for God, God said, I'll give it back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. You give. You give to honor God. You say, Brother Danny, we're having it rough. Everybody's having it rough. We all are. Amen. Times are hard on everybody. But I'll tell you what, you obey God and you give. Listen, you give. I know people that they'll go to, go out on Friday night. I know people go out on Friday night and go to places where it costs $26 a piece to eat. And a man, wife, and tax, everything, $60 and $70 just to sit down and eat one meal. Now, if you do that, that's your business. I'm not judging you. Have at it. I think it's retarded. There ain't no food in the world worth $60 to me. They don't make food that good, brother. I mean, a steak that thick ain't worth that much money. You do what you want to. And if that's what you want to do, fine. Time they go to the movies and go eat out, sometimes, and go buy them a new shirt or a new dress, they spend $100. That's fine. If you want to do that, your business. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. How much more should we appreciate if God, through that Bible, speaks to our kids or speaks to our marriage and helps us? You can't put a price on that. Let's give and everybody do their part in that. Amen? I know people go to marriage counseling and spend $75 an hour. God can do more for your marriage in 10 minutes of real preaching. Getting hold of your wife and husband's heart. I've seen them. I've seen them come to church mad as fire, wouldn't even speak. And boy, like Brother Jason was up here singing a while ago, the Spirit starts moving, preachers start preaching. After about 30 minutes, there goes that hand over there. There goes her hand over there. Next thing you know, they're holding hands. You know what that is? That's therapy, brother. Money can't buy that. Go to a counselor and say, make us not mad. He'll say, well, tell me about your problem. Well, he's a brat. Well, she's the devil. You know. See, with the preaching, when you hear that preaching, it starts softening your heart. You start thinking, man, Jesus died for us. And the Lord cares about us. And He said, forgive 70 times 7 in one day. You have to forgive each other 490 times in one day. You've heard me preach it 100 times. You was up 489, wasn't you, Junior? The truth is, it's like that sometimes. Marriage is a continual, every day. Forgive, start all over. Forgive, start all over. Forgive, start all over. If you're one of these perfect people or liars, I don't know which, that said you never have no problems, then maybe you can pray for the rest of us sinners. Let me say, give you money. And then I will say last, give you prayers. And I'm going to tell you what I believe the Lord's laid on my heart. I don't know if I've ever done this here at this church before, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord's laid on my heart. I believe that God wants us to pray for our camp meeting. I got a place up in the woods where I go every evening before camp meeting service, and pray. I've always done it. Done it for years. Before church, before we leave, come to church, I go up in the woods and I get down. I hear about all them old great guys getting in the woods and I don't know how there's bugs in there, brother. And they crawl on you and you say, oh God, help. Oh God, please. God, please. One time I went out in the woods. I don't know about that praying in the woods, man. I get mad. Backslid. But I guess we're not men like they was or something. I don't know. But I went up in the woods one time when I was a young preacher and I said, I'm going to go up and get a hold of God like D.L. Moody did. And I went up there, way up on the mountain above Mom's house, and I thought, I'll get up here on the mountain where the devil can't find me and I'll get a hold of God. And I got down and there was a snake laying right there, right in front. I said, Lord, my goodness. And the Lord said, you're going to have to go farther up than this, Danny, to get away from the devil. The devil's right up there waiting on me. And you know something? I'm going to call on our church tonight to pray. And here's what I feel like we ought to do. I have never done this since Shining Light Baptist Church started that I know of. I'm sure I have. We've had all kinds of fasts, all kinds of giving, praying stuff. And here's what I want to do. I want us to have a 24-hour prayer vigil. That's what they call on TV. I don't know what that is. Vigil. I don't even know what that is. I don't want to light candles standing around outside your house. But I want us to pray. The Lord came to His disciples one time and He said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Everybody in here can watch a TV show, the news, about it for 1 hour. Amen? You can sit and watch 19 kids and counting for two, just watch it and watch it and watch it. If you'd pray night, the Lord might give you a family like that. They're headed for trouble though, you mark my word. The devil get in there somewhere. Ain't never been a family the devil didn't get in somewhere. And I praise God for them. They're a lot better people than I am. I ain't jealous. But I'm telling you, the devil's going to get them people. You start fooling around with Hollywood and the news media and stuff like that, the devil's going to get you one. Mark my words. Remember me telling you that. Or surely you don't watch Desperate Ho Wives. Or whatever. But anyway, football, basketball, of course that's all right, and anything else like that. Just kidding. But it's about basketball season. Hallelujah. But anyway, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to start tonight. It's 15 after 7. We'll start tonight at 9 o'clock. Let's just start at 8 since it's so early. And I would like for one person in here to take 1 hour, 8 to 9, another one 9 to 10, another one 10 to 11, and pray for that 1 hour. We'll have 24 hours of prayer from tonight at 8 to tomorrow night at 8. So that any second during this 24 hours, somebody's praying. Now what you do is you go up in the closet, close it, turn your phone off, don't get near the phone. Tell kids to leave you alone and just get down and say, God bless the camp meeting. God, please bless that camp meeting. God, please, please, Lord, bless. You say, well, if I run out of something to say? Say it over again. You say, what about vain repetition? Don't let them be vain. Let them be real. Vain means empty. Mean it. Say the same thing 1,000 times. Just mean it. So what we're going to do, and it's going to be hard on, I'll take the hardest part. 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, whatever you don't want to take. I can get up and pray and go back to bed. It's been a long time since I had a prayer meeting like this, but I want us to have a 24-hour prayer starting tonight at 8 o'clock. So all I need is 23 people. And some of you can take 2 hours if you want to. So without further ado, who would volunteer? It's 15 after 7 now. We're getting ready to let you go. 8 o'clock tonight, 8 to 9.